Welcome to the Hutton Orbital Outside Broadcast Suite, live this week once again from Lave Station. Everything's a bit singed and under repair, but we reckon we can cobble together... I reckon we can cobble together a show. Oh, look, can you see what those noises are?
It looks like they're repairing the plumbing.
Do they have to? I can't hear myself think over that racket.
They say that we have a choice. They carry on or we can broadcast knee-deep in bio-waste as the extractor pumps from the bathroom facilities fail and we're up to our frame shift in it.
I could put out an apology if you want.
What sort of thing are you thinking?
We're very, very sorry that someone broke Lave and we're having to fix it because the powers that be can't be bothered.
How about I just close the door?
You know, the thought never occurred to me.
Right, now that that racket has stopped...
Sorry. Was just tightening Chicks's nuts up before something fell off. His chair.
Right, now that the racket has stopped... Yes, it has. Right, we can get on with the headlines. When Lave Radio deserved its title as the hottest show this side of DSO.
TJ Byway Leeway Mayday.
Gadget porn? Don't mind if we do.
Turn the cow's ear into a silk puss. Lacorn reveals all.
We've got a not quite... And finally,
I'm making sure we don't do an EDF and forget something important in our home systems.
And I'm shouting about what everyone else is up to.
Lave Station, that shining orange jewel in the history of humanity. Okay, except when it was still black and white. Last week we reported on the NMLA attack on the station, which caused huge numbers of casualties and risked the detonation of the brandy stores. Hutton Orbital, helped by independent pilots of the galaxy, launched Operation Orange Peel to save as many people as possible from the flaming station, allowing firefighting teams to get safe access to the flames, and, where necessary, vent whole sections of the station to space, putting huge swathes of flames out in the process. Our target, 1 million evacuees in a single week. First on the scene was Commander Wotherspoon of the Galnet News Digest, there to evacuate the entire Lave Radio crew to a waiting remote broadcast studio in time for their Tuesday programme. Everyone except the safety officer was found, though there are rumours that he stayed behind to protect Edla Weiss's classic Enya record collection from destruction. We are glad to report that not only is he fine, the record collection ended up melting and won't be played on the radio station on an endless loop any longer. Pilots from Hutton, the Paladin Consortium, the Privateers Alliance, rescue operations led by Commander Sykett, Cannon Interstellar, the Hull Seals, and others worked tirelessly to save everyone they could from the station. There was a small hiccup on the first day, as calculations indicated that the birth rate on the station was actually higher than the speed we were saving people. But after more commanders joined us, anyone gestating was removed to safety and the problem stopped. Over 200 commanders representing more than 50 of the galaxy's finest squadrons did their all to get everyone safe and didn't get too upset at demands for 5 tons of kitchen mixers or a ton of little umbrellas for cocktails just to make the passengers that little bit more comfortable. There are rumours of a number of unscheduled spacewalks being issued by the less tolerant rescue commanders en route to the waiting megaship. As of Wednesday evening, we were only 50,000 short of our target of 1 million, but the night shift commanders completed their task with only minutes to spare before the firefighting team arrived and doused the flames. Particular thanks should go to the Paladin Consortium, and in particular Commander the Adman 2315, for their efforts in saving so many people. a special citation has been entered into the record books for the diligence of the docking controller and the parking attendants who stayed at their posts throughout the rescue, alternately panicking over the radio and issuing fines left, right and centre for anyone who managed to loiter, litter or loaf anywhere in the docking area. Who knew that disposing of limpets to make room for more desperate passengers was frowned upon? Certainly not Commander Duet. More on this later. Phase 2 of Operation Orange Peel went live this morning, with repair crews docking from the rescue ship and a purchase order being placed for thousands of tons of repair materials to bring the station back online. We are happy to report that the only commodity actually available for purchase at the station is Lavian Brandy, saved from a fiery conflagration by the efforts of Lave Radio's safety officer using a hand pump, a large bucket, and the contents of Eddie Lee Wise's stockroom to put the flames out. Hutton's admin team have asked Cecil to contact the Alliance and register their disgust at both the misinformation that led the NMLA to believe that it was an Alliance station and the flagrant disregard of the repair efforts in their latest community goal. Flossie will be bringing us up to date with those details later in the show. As was expected, many of the other stations that were attacked have also been brought under control, aided in the main by the owners of them handing out ranks to anyone that loaned a hand for a minute or two. The galaxy now has a lot more kings and admirals in it than it did last week. Notably, though, the Sol system is still on fire. We attempted to contact the Earth Defense Fleet, or EDF, for comment as to how they managed not to defend Earth, and indeed how their fleet managed not to bring the fires under control, but their answer phone message just says, "Gone to Kokari, back next week." Guys, you had one job. Once Lave is back online, we might just have to pop over to Sol with a fire blanket and put it out for them. This, however, is an all-truckers bulletin. Will all commanders please report to their ships, pack the racks and get back to Lave with as many repair materials as you can. Beryllium, superconductors and polymers are in the highest demand, and we've been reassured that they'll be paying a good price for them every time you visit. For more information on the exact requirements, tune in to Flossie later in the show, who has a full manifest of everything you need. The Pilots Federation, Hutton Orbital and Lave Radio have confirmed that as this is an officially declared CCCG, there will be prizes issued for the best contributors across the two phases and the leading squadrons who've sent representatives.
Everyone's favourite blame depository, a man often described as Hutton's oldest member with the longest standing, the irrepressible TJ, has managed to get some inadvertent re-sculpting done on the nose cone of his diamondback as he metaphorically boosted out of the letterbox from behind a Type 9, only to find another Type 9 leisurely sliding sideways into his path. Now, when recklessly flying almost any ship that doesn't have military-grade armour and you come into sudden violent contact with the back of an almost stationary T9, there is only one possible conclusion. You lose. And the pilot of the T9 looked slowly round to see what the noise was. Think of a gnat flying into the right buttock of an elephant. Actually, think of the gnat flying right between the two buttocks of an elephant, because where it would end up was exactly where TJ finished. In the pit. The repair pit. As he came within a poo-encrusted gnat's wing of needing an entire new ship. And his insurance is a lot more than 5%, we can assure you. TJ himself escaped relatively unscathed, though we admit it can be hard to tell, but he was last seen trying to weld pieces of an Imperial Eagle, a keelback and an SRV together to try and get his transport back. We often lump the blame for all sorts of natural disasters on TJ's shoulders, but it's incidents like this one that remind us that all we're doing is playing the odds. Sooner or later, everything will be TJ's fault.
The Pilots Federation have finally released further information on their very own Middle of Little Tool Spectacular that will be coming next week to an alpha test near you. Yes, after the leak of the security footage showing the frameshift bandits using a variety of handheld breaking and entering tools, they've been forced to update their online catalogues with the latest in gadgets, widgets, and the kinds of things that you buy your grandpa to keep in his tool shed. First equipment revealed was the new Profile Analyzer. No, not a tool you use on dating websites to see whether someone's a good match and to translate the letters G-S-O-H into thinks they're funny, but really. But a mini handheld data mining machine that can give you everything from someone's inside leg measurement and hat size to their preference in breakfast cereal, shady past, and preferred pronoun. According to the Pilots Federation, they've discovered that it's also able to clone someone's identification right down to the DNA level. Nurse Weyeth had to be called after a certain King Hanky of Colonia was caught with a prototype, zapping himself in the hopes that he could create yet more clones. But after a mix-up between the transmit and the scan modes, he appears to have reprogrammed himself to believe he's a fish. Second on their list is the Energy Link, which has been hotly anticipated by members of the Fuel Rats, as it is rumoured to be able to transfer energy directly from your own suit into someone else's using non-contact microwave energy waves. There are suggestions that a new wing of the Fuel Rats will be launched, calling themselves the Batrats. Slogan, we've got amps, you don't. The safety booklet that we've seen here over at the Orbital includes some very important warnings. The one in big red letters say, do not lick the live terminal. We suspect that because if you do, it might be. Hutton's security team are investigating whether it can be used as a substitute taser for subduing the unruly aboard the Orbital. And of course, a number of the station's forum-dwelling salt mining community are absolutely deadpan about the potential for vampire mode, to be able to suck the energy out of just about any situation. As with many a personal device, having a lever that goes from blow to suck at a moment's notice is bound to have hilarious consequences and probably a number of embarrassing hospitalizations. Hot on the heels of these two is, of course, the arc cutter that was used to break into the power regulator room in the heist the other week. A precision cutting implement that seems to have a life of its own and know exactly the right track to cut along to break things open that you shouldn't be breaking into. What the second mode is on this device is anyone's guess, though rumours are that welding might be one option, though novelty Kamitra cigar lighter would be far more handy in those Hannibal Smith moments where we love it when a plan comes together. There has been no mention yet of the community named Dyson Scanner, given that the name due to resemblance to an innovative home cleaning device from the 21st century and likely to be used to explore strange new worlds, seek out new life, and then take it home in little jars to look at and go woo over whilst counting the cash from exobiology research centres.
Do you keep getting that recurring pang of regret? You know the one, it comes and goes, then it looms, often when you're trying to get to sleep, listening to the comfort and hums and taps of your life support systems. Then it creeps into your consciousness. Why did you do it? How could you have been so stupid? What possessed you? You had one job, to buy a useful ship. Was it the multiple engines, the slingshot, boy racer, spoiler, or was it just a size matters thing? Each time you wander through the hangar reassured by those comforting oily metallic smells, pass your python, solid, dependable, and possibly purple. You shoot an admiring glance at your own asp. Even the cheerful old space cow. It flies like a double-decker bus with marmalade wheels, but boy can she shift the gear. Then, there it is, hiding in the corner under a big tarpaulin, looming, huge and useless, collecting dusk and docking fees. You leak on Type 10 Defender, and the rush of regret comes again. Why? Why? You tried it in combat. You tried it for cargo runs. You tried it for exploration. No, you didn't. No one is that daft. So here it sits, big, ugly and useless, the biggest paperweight in the galaxy. Like a giant, expensive garden shed, it's become your budget fleet carrier, used to store all those extra modules you have. Well, it turns out there is a use for it. If you engineer it up the wazoo, stuff it full of laser turrets, all set to auto-fire, stash some hold bait in the cargo in the hold, park it in a low res, and let loose your ship launch fighter, you can just leave it there to look after itself all day, shooting unsuspecting pirates. That's right, if you're in the galley cooking up a three-course dinner, your death-dealing disco laser bullets racking up the kills. Its point defence turrets killing any hatchbreaker limpets that dare come close, while you indulge in your sumptuous feast in front of your 64k view screen, watching the latest comedy show to come out of Alpha Centauri, then have a nap, you wake refreshed to find that your auto-fortress Type 10 learns your tidy summon bounties. You will of course be at the centre of a cloud of debris and wrecked hulls, so be careful when you leave to cash it all in. Oh, Alvin DeFeer does not approve of this behaviour. He would prefer that you make your way in the verse in an honest, truckerly way. And also, parking outside the lab station with the lasers on auto and playing Disco Inferno at full pelt is just in poor taste, however you dress it up.
And now, some of this week's news that may have escaped your attention.
Ow! Self-styled Emperor Hanky, Lord of the Clones of Colonia, supreme leader of the Isle of the Snake People, is obviously bored with counting his gold elite status medals that he's had made, and has turned his attention in a new direction. Colour. The colour purple. The colour purple, that's used by so many to enhance the look of their ships, especially after the Pilots Federation made it so freely available. Too free for the skanky hanky, he thinks that purple is too posh for truckers. At least he did once someone explained the word posh to him. We were so worried about his disapproval that we gave the job of recolouring our fleet to Vantayan, who is colourblind. Be careful what you wish for, Hanky.
Ow! We discovered this week that Commander Andran has been demonstrating true truckery spirit, despite not actually formally being a trucker. It appears that the commander takes a brand new Hutton mug with him on each and all of his long exploration trips. How else would you keep your coffee warm? And so has introduced the cult of the mug to many far-flung places in order to celebrate his madcap achievement and to ensure that in the unlikely event of him meeting another pilot out there in the black, he is recognised by all and sundry, especially the sundry, as a true trucker. He has been awarded at Hutton Decal for his ship. Mind you, we're not sure how he's going to keep the decal looking nice after a few hundred thousand light years of travel has stripped off most of his paint. We may have to send one of our fleet carriers to deliver some TLC for his hull.
Oh! Commander Draxor has finally finished the arduous job of spinning gold into, well, gold. She and a certain FTM Mustang put their shoulders to the wheel, realised that the wheel wouldn't help, and then used a shovel to dig up gold. Lovely gold. Draxor then had to take a lump of the shiny metal and draw it into a long, long thread, then practice her needlework and create a load of shiny patches to celebrate the top commanders in our Going for Gold 2 event. FTM Mustang then proceeded to lob them in the general direction of the intended recipients. And we are starting to hear tales of people who, after proper decontamination procedures, have dared to open their packages. And we've seen photographs of the shine from their frankly enormous, and rightly so, patches, reflected in the silly grins on their faces. Well done, everyone.
Oh, that's the fourth time you've done that. Daniel Tiberius Topham, known to many as Mollusk Dan or Dan Dan the Mollusk Man, after an unfortunate, rapid, unscheduled disassembly of his ship and subsequent rescue assimilation by the space mollusks, has completed his long-held ambition to visit the four cardinal points of the galactic compass by visiting Erikson Star, the most westerly reachable star in the Milky Way. The other three points are marked by Star 1, Amundsen Starr and Isham Reach, or whatever the young people are calling it these days. Oh, congratulations, Commander Star Reach. Now, get yourself back to Hutton in one piece, or it doesn't count, and you have to go again.
Ow! Ow!
Amelia Hawke has a new job. Yes, she's been promoted from the Galnet Food Digest to the parent division, the Galnet Rares Digest. Her impressive efforts in sticking strange things in her mouth have led to her being allowed to try out other things. A bit like the Shopping Channel, but with less cubic zirconia.
Did anything much happen this week in Hutton Space? Did anyone notice? Or were you all saving grid resistors, atypical wake echoes, and specialised legacy firmware from the flames in Lave Station? Admittedly, with a few bonus people thrown in. Otherwise, in Hutton Space, it's been a quiet week. Once the wardrobe door was slammed shut on Captain Hook in Narnia, there were no adverse states in any system for the whole week. However, four systems are below 40%, allowing other factions to squabble and lock up influence. Notably, in Wolf 1481, where a war that started on Tuesday will lock up 30% of system influence into the weekend. In fact, breaking news, whilst we've been assembling the studio here in Lave, Wolf 1481 has fallen to only 25% influence, so get in there and raise Hutton influence. Kokiri has slumped to 33% and needs an urgent boost as the Earth Defence Fleet is within 8% of Hutton. Still, I expect they're concentrated on nothing bad happening in Sol and they won't bother with Kokiri. Wolf 359 is still struggling to recover from its infrastructure failure 2 weeks ago and would benefit from some truckly trade to raise it up. Trouble in the Wolfpack, it seems, this week. In Colonia, King Hanky reports that most systems are in the green. Or is that purple? Nope, it's definitely green. And for those listening in black and white, the green is behind the pale grey ball. However, Ale Procol Centauri has dropped 10%, so work there to boost it back to 50. And there is an infrastructure failure in Tyr, so truck in food and machinery to Dolo Depot. Request an audience with King Hanky if in any doubt. At the top end of the Hutton League, six systems are above 60. We need to keep an eye on those and make sure that our next expansion is from LHS 340, which is still steadily recovering from the last one. Speaking of the last expansion, Alvin is a bit miffed. You had one job. One job! Okay, so it wasn't quite the system we wanted. It didn't have loads of potential, but it did have a station with a funny name, and that was enough for his fluffiness. We didn't so much lose the war to get a foothold. We didn't play the B team. We just didn't turn up. So we have Fjoktistoft. Enjoy it. It's the last time you'll hear that for a while. Don't forget that we still need to leave Hotel Carcinari, where the room service dinner trays are piling up in the corridors. Hutton are almost down to single figures, so help out and give us a nudge out of there. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Kokiri and Wolf 1481. Yeah, I know you're just going to truck stuff into Lave Station. If you want to shoot it, suit. If you want to shoot something, that'll just shoot something. We still need to exit Carson and Ari, so help any of the factions there except Hutton.
News now of events organised wholly by you, the Elite Dangerous community. Commander Avis Maidlung says he did loads and loads and loads of mining last week, or what Amelia would call just a little bit of mining, and they moved the carrier closer to the core. Since then, Babster has been jumping around very giddy at the vast amount of large and exotic stars and the occasional black hole. Eros almost made a mess of the inside of his SRV after doing a 5 kilometre high jump from a geyser, so it sounds like all in all in the last week he's had lots of fun. Eros, however, is stuck now in a week-long series of meetings and workshops related to some experiment he forgot he was involved in back on Earth before he set off. If anyone needs him, He'll be at the bar with a cup of tea and his tablet communicator, so please feel free to distract him. Commander Hunter tells us that 5 Eurotowers expedition designed for new pilots who want to do the things the old-fashioned way, without fleet carriers but with friends, and to experience weekly meetups is going fine. The majority have reached Rohini, which means they're halfway to Colonia right now. They've covered 350,000 light-years, used almost 30k tons of fuel on over 6,500 jumps, and nearly 1,000 planets were mapped. Details of this expedition are at bit.ly/5Eurotours. Commander Mephisto reports on the Comfy Cannon Cruise Expedition, which is proceeding as scheduled to show pilots the wonders of the galaxy without all that tedious jump scooping. The first 3 waypoints featured proto-Lagrange clouds containing metallic crystals, solid mineral spheres, and 3 types of anomalies. Subsequent waypoints took them past many wonders, which included the grave of the generation ship Lycion, whose inhabitants died by an unfortunate mixture of flu and xenobiologic microbes, cuddly croaking gourd mollusks, 4 types of anemones, sulfur dioxide, fumaroles and gas vents, plus the incredibly fast-moving Meter and Hollow in Epsilon Indy, not to mention various megaships and asteroid bases. Everyone is in jolly good spirits. Commanders explore the sites together, help each other and generally have a good time. There are still commanders joining a bit later to the party, so if you have the jump range and want to tag along, just come aboard. Details at bit.ly/ED3C. The EDC races are having one of their regular events, SRV racing at Cork Base on Saturday 20th of March, starting at 1900 UTC. Details of the course can be found on our Discord channel and at bit.ly/sheetraces. The sign-up sheet is at bit.ly/corksrace. And that's all the news we have on your events. As always, we'd love to hear from you if you're organising one, or even if you've just heard about one, so we can help to drum up support.